Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to this Holy Half Hour program here on 3TFM, your local radio station. I'm your host, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Since we're coming up to Christmas, as I'm sure you've noticed, it might be a good idea to delve into some background to do with Christmas. In the middle of the frantic Christmas rush, let's step back a bit and consider what it's all about. Why are we doing this? What is the point of it all? How did we get to where we are now, and so on? To get us started, here's a wee reading entitled, What is Christmas? A joyful time in the bleak midwinter, a time for light and warmth in the midst of dark and cold. It's about crowded commercial cathedrals. It's shoppers with overdrawn faces and bank accounts, the season of Santa Claus, a religious festival, fun and games and parties, holidays and holy days, families and friends, decorations and trees, cards and letters from near and far, carols and plays, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day services, the social event of the year. Christmas is a time to give and a time to get, a time to eat, drink and be merry, a time to have greater goodwill than usual, a time for hope, a time to feel lonely and sad at the loss of loved ones, a time for terrorists and crooks to give it a rest. A time when all round the world, millions of people in many cultures all join together in praise of the baby of Bethlehem. A time when we join in a celebration which has gone on for 2,000 years, 57 generations. According to the Bible, Christmas is the most important event in the history of the world. It's quite a claim. God, the creator of the world, the universe, you and me, came down to earth, was born as a baby in Bethlehem, lived as Jesus in Nazareth. He preached and taught and healed and did miracles and made friends and enemies. Above all, he died on a cross, bearing the sin and punishment of the whole world, including you and me. Then he rose from the dead, the first to do so, and he came back to tell us. Now, together with him, you and I can have a clean new start, like being born for the second time. Our sins dealt with on his cross. He's alive again with us, helping us to live better lives. So Christmas is a time to remember the birth of Jesus, our eternal God. It's a time to welcome him into our messy stables. It's a time to experience and celebrate our own rebirth, thanks to him. So to get us into the swing of this celebration, listen to this.
Thank you.
I've discovered a wonderful book entitled All About Christmas. It's written by the Right Reverend James Simpson, and it's full of interesting background about Christmas, with his particular holy wit thrown in. He writes, for instance, that Christmas is a family festival. He says, keeping peace and goodwill in the family at Christmas requires patience, love, and two TVs. He says, people travel long distances to be with their families at Christmas, but by the end, they can sometimes see their family far enough. Somebody else once said, Christmas is a day in two halves. You begin by playing with the kids and stuffing the turkey, and end by stuffing the kids and playing with the turkey. Seriously though, as James Simpson points out, Christmas is several things at once, like a diamond with many facets. It is a family festival. It's also a commercial festival and a Christian festival. As a commercial festival, James Simpson writes, we dream of white Christmases, but it leaves us in the red. Credit cards have three dimensions, height, width, and debt. The best Christmas present for a person who has everything is a burglar alarm. And Christmas is when kids tell Santa Claus what they want and adults later pay for it. On the other hand, our current economic climate is because adults tell the government what they want and their kids later pay for it. As a Christian festival, Christmas is the celebration of Christ Jesus' birthday, or put in more technical jargon, the incarnation or birth of God on earth. Here's Michael Card singing about it.
He's more than able.
We are currently in the season of Advent. Advent is the four-week period leading up to Christmas. It's a time of preparation, not just of turkey, tinsel and trees and decorations and cards, but of preparing our hearts and minds for the coming of Jesus into our lives. The word Advent comes from the Latin advenire and the French venir, meaning to come. And we think of Jesus coming into the world 2,000 years ago at Bethlehem. His coming at some time in the future, at the end of the world, and his daily coming to us as we live our lives here and now. Advent wreaths are made of evergreen leaves, showing life even in the very dead of winter. They have four purple or red candles, one for each Sunday in Advent. Purple is the colour of royalty, and Jesus is the divine God. Red is the colour of sacrifice, and Jesus became a human man, eventually dying for us. The first candle reminds us of the prophets. The second, Bethlehem. The third, the shepherds. And the fourth, the angels. The larger white candle in the middle, which only gets lit on Christmas Eve, signifies Jesus, who is the light of the world.
Thank you.
So why is Christmas on December the 25th? Nobody really knows the exact day of Jesus' birth. At the moment, we worry about the Holy Christian Festival being taken over by crass commercialism. But it started the other way round, by Christians Christianising pagan festivals. At the winter solstice, the darkest day of the year, Romans, Persians, Vikings, Druids, many others had festivals. To cheer themselves up, I suppose. In particular, on December the 25th, there was the Roman feast of Saturnalia, which honoured Saturn, the god of agriculture. So the Christians just took it over. Kissing under the mistletoe is a very ancient pagan practice. The letter X in Xmas is an even more ancient sign for Jesus, used in the catacombs when Christians were being persecuted by the Romans. X is the first Greek letter in the Greek word Christos, the Greek word for Christ. However, many of our Christmas customs are actually quite new. Older people can still remember when Christmas Day was not a holiday. Christmas Day did not become an official public holiday in Scotland until 1958. Christmas crackers are also a recently invented thing by a Mr. Tom Smith. He was a sweet manufacturer who was inspired to invent them when he saw a log fire sparkling one Christmas day. Further back in history, there were Christmas pies in the shape of a crib with a small pastry baby representing the baby Jesus, a bit like a steak pie. However, the Puritans, the hardline Christians of the time, objected, so they became round pies and the name changed to mincemeat pies or mince pies. The very first act of Oliver Cromwell and the Puritan Parliament in 1644 was to pass a law banning the celebration of Christmas. They made it a fast day instead of a feast day. They even sent troops round London to sniff out any illegal Christmas dinners. And they clamped down on bakeries indulging in the illicit practice of producing mince pies. Charles Dickens and his novel Christmas Carol, with its conversion of Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge, is credited with reviving Christmas in Britain in Victorian times. He promoted family gatherings, magnificent turkey Christmas dinners, plum puddings, family games played in front of a blazing Yule log fire, and the greeting, Merry Christmas. Christmas cards also come from the Victorian period. At first it was only rich people who sent them, and at first it was only New Year cards. But with the advent of cheaper printing, and with the invention of the postal service, the practice became widespread. At first, the post office kept all cards until Christmas Day itself. In 1841, Queen Victoria's German husband, Albert, is responsible for introducing us to the German practice of having Christmas trees. Trees point heavenward to the God who once came down from heaven to be rooted in the earth, and as a result, we now blossom like the evergreen trees with eternal life. Here's Mario Lanza to sing about it.
Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, forever true your color. Oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, forever true your color. Your boughs so green in summertime, stay bravely green in winter time. Oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, forever true your color. Oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, how sturdy God hath made thee. Oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, how sturdy God hath made thee. Thou bidst us all place faithfully our trust in God unchangingly. O Christmas tree, O Christmas tree, how sturdy God hath made thee.
We sometimes worry today about the scale of the commercialism of Christmas. It's truly astounding, is it not? James Simpson wisely comments, "Many a parent sighs for the good old days, when a Christmas stocking could actually hold more than what a child wanted for Christmas." What has all the spending of money on material things got to do with the celebration of a spiritual experience? What has the affluent, opulent, indulgent Christmas that we know got to do with the God impoverishing himself and coming as a poor refugee, homeless baby born into a stable? We've gone over the score, but at the core of the real Christmas, there is a lot of giving and receiving. God gave himself to us. He also gave a star and the prophecies to guide the wise men. He gave angels to tell the shepherds and a donkey to carry Mary. The innkeeper gave his stable and the wise men gave their gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. Gold for Jesus, the King of Kings, frankincense as an incense to worship Jesus as God, and myrrh, which is used to anoint dead bodies because Jesus came to die for us. Let's celebrate his birthday.
Crackers and turkeys and puddings and cream, toys in the windows that I've never seen. This is the Christmas that everyone sees, but Christmas means more to me. It's somebody's birthday, I won't forget. As I open the things that I get, I remember the inn and the stable so fair, and Jesus who once lay there. Everyone's out shopping late every night for candles and presents and Christmas tree lights. This is the Christmas that everyone sees, but Christmas means more to me. It's somebody's birthday, I won't forget. As I open the things that I get, I'll remember the inn and the stable so fair, and Jesus who once lay there. Christmas morning, the start of the day, there's presents to open and new games to play. This is the Christmas that everyone sees, but Christmas means more to me. It's somebody's birthday, I won't forget. As I open the things that I get, I'll remember the inn and the stable so bare, and Jesus who once lay there. It's somebody's birthday, I won't forget.
One of our most loved Christmas customs is the Christmas play. It helps us to imagine that first holy night. Mind you, some of the performances are not quite so holy, like when my nephew Arnold and his fellow nursery shepherds ended up playing hockey with their crooks, using a stuffed lamb as a puck. Then there was the school play, before which the boy playing Joseph and the boy playing the innkeeper fell out. When they went on stage, they were out to get each other. So Joseph said, "Is there any room?" And to spite him, the innkeeper said, "Oh yes, we've plenty room, come in." Undaunted, Joseph pretended to look inside and said, "What a dump. I wouldn't come in here if you paid me. Have you not got a better stable or something?" Another little boy was watching the construction of a manger scene in his classroom. There was real straw and clay figures standing on it. Mary, Joseph, shepherds, wise men, animals, all facing a small crib with a doll in it representing Jesus. The boy was clearly fascinated by it all. He couldn't take his eyes off it for a moment. He stood there completely engrossed with a puzzled expression on his face. Eventually his teacher asked, "What's wrong?" With his eyes still glued to the manger scene, the boy said, "What I'd like to know is, where does God fit in?" A good question. As we celebrate this Christmas with all its customs, always remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. God is in it, right at the heart of it. He is the baby in the manger. He is the saviour of the world whom the angels sang about. He is the one the wise men bowed down to and worshipped as God. So bye for now and have a very happy Christmas with Christ in your stable. And remember, God is not just for Christmas. Bye for now.
Joy to